Gethsemane, see him stand before old Pilate, hear the crowd cry, crucify, watch our blessed Savior suffer, see him bow his head and die, watch them take his bleeding body, see them lay him in the tomb. Watch them wrap him in the grave clothes. They anoint him with perfume. Now they'll wait, they'll watch and worry, for they knew he had to die. And while they waited for
Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this. Lord, we thank you for this church, for all these souls present here, Lord. Father, I ask that you'd be with the pastor as he brings a message. Lord, I ask that you just use him, Lord. Speak to whoever's out there that needs to hear your word, Lord, that they would move. Whatever their hurt is, whatever their need is, if they be lost or just need to rededicate their life, Lord, or come pray whatever their need, Lord, that you'd give them the courage to step out. Father, I ask that you'd be with those of our church members, Lord, that are in need this morning. Lord, Miss Christy Dutton, be with her. Be with Bruce and the family, Lord. Father, use this tithe for your church. To further your glory, Lord, that we could take this message out to the world and bring lost souls in, Lord. Go with us now. Use us tithe, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. I never saw the cross he carried up to Calvary's hill, and I never saw the precious blood that my Savior spilled, and I never heard the mob that cried, "Oh, let him be crucified." No, I never saw it, but I believe for me he died. And every step he Calvary, and every drop of blood he shed for me, and there's a lot of things I believe. When Jesus died, he died for me. I never saw the many burdens that my Savior bore, and I never saw that lonely hill where he was crucified. No, I never saw it, but I believe. And every step he took to Calvary, and every drop of blood he shed for me, and there's a lot of things I cannot see. Oh, but I believe. When Jesus died, he died for me. Yes, there's a lot of things I cannot see. Oh, but I believe. When Jesus died, he died for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Before I sing this song, anybody that has worked in Vacation Bible School or has been to any of the trainings or anything like that, you're always told, and it's the truth, VBS is the number one biggest outreach for a church, and to reach the community. And if we can, you can get to the children, we can reach the families. And this week, my prayer is that, you know, the Holy Spirit will just be free to move, free to work, and plant seeds and change lives this week. That's what it's all about. You know, everyone says all don't get so in big hype about the decorations, but this is what makes the kids want to come. You know, they walk in and they see this, and they don't want to leave. I mean, yesterday we just sat in this sanctuary, and it's just awesome, the gifts that God gives people, that they can do things like this, and it's all for the kids to glorify God. And so just listen to the words of this song, and I hope it's a blessing to you.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood and feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence,
Amen. Good singing this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad to be here. And I want to say this. Yeah, we got a little grass stapled up here to the altar, but the altar is still open. Amen. When you're in the house of the Lord, that's the way I look at it. That's the most important thing. You obeying the Lord and moving when God speaks to you, it's more important than anything that the preacher has to say. More important than any song is that you do business with God. When you have the opportunity. That's any time, that's every time you're in the house of the Lord. So I'll say this, and I'm going to be reading out of the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 6, in just a minute. But you obey the Lord this morning. If God speaks to your heart, don't miss the opportunity to talk to Him. I want to preach this morning a subject entitled, Stay on the Wall. Now if we look around in here, we see that people have been building. If you know much about the book of Nehemiah, it's all about building walls. And I want to read some scripture out of the 6th chapter, and I'm going to actually read the first 3 verses, and then we may come back to the other. But I want you to see that Nehemiah had gotten to the point that the wall was almost built. And I want us to really look at the opposition that he faced. But in Nehemiah chapter number 6, I want to begin reading in the first verse. It says, Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me saying, And come and let us meet together, in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Now let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, we thank you for your sweet spirit. Lord, I thank you for this church, and Lord, I thank you for the way you've brought these people together. Lord, I thank you for the hard work, Lord, that we've seen, how that people want to see your kingdom go forward and your work done. God, we pray that you'd give us strength and you'd open this word to us this morning. Give us understanding and help us, Lord, to find something that would strengthen our hearts and our minds as we go forward. Lord, all that's done here, Lord, help us to do it in your honor and your glory. Most importantly, for somebody here that don't know you, Lord, as their personal Savior, Lord, would you speak to their heart? Would you draw them to an altar, Lord, where they can know for sure that they're saved? Lord, for all you do and all you are going to do, we give you all the honor, Lord, all the glory and all the praise. And this we pray in Jesus' name and amen. Now we see here in this 6th chapter that Nehemiah, he's building on the wall. And I want to go back and I want to give you a little bit of historical information to help you understand something about what's going on. If you go back over, and we're going to read in just a minute in the 1st chapter, but Nehemiah was in exile in Babylon because the children of Israel had been taken and many, many of them had been taken captivity. And when Nehemiah was in exile and captivity in Babylon, he was actually the cupbearer of Artaxerxes, who was the king. Now, the cupbearer would be before the king on a regular basis because when the king had a meal or he had something to drink, the cupbearer would actually take and he would taste the food or he would taste the drink that was given to the king. So he had a close relationship with the king. But remember, he was still a Jew and he still was in exile. He basically was a prisoner. And he would ask questions of his homeland and of his people. And I want to go back and read in Nehemiah chapter 1 in the first three verses and let you hear and see what really became troubling in Nehemiah's heart and in his spirit. It says in the first chapter in the first verse of Nehemiah, it says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislew in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace. Now here he is in the palace in Babylon. It says that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Now, he was there, and the truth is, he actually had a pretty good job. Because he ate well, he drank well, he wasn't like in a dungeon, but he was still a prisoner. He was not in his homeland, but he asked the question of his people. And listen to the third verse. It says, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now, when Nehemiah heard this, in the fourth verse it says, and it came to pass when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, I want you to see the first thing that happened is Nehemiah heard what was going on amongst his own people, and he began to be heavily, heavily burdened. Now, you know, sometimes we ought to look around and say, what's going on around us? And it ought to burden our hearts. You know, sometimes I think the reason that America's in the shape it's in is because people don't have enough burden. You know, the Bible says in one place, where there's no vision, the people perish. And we need a vision in America today that'll help us have a burden. You know, you go in this scripture and you move to chapter 2. And here's Nehemiah after he's heard what's going on in Jerusalem amongst his own people. It creates heaviness in his heart. It gets him to where, if you'll have it, where he can't sleep at night. It gets him to where he's not comfortable even enjoying the things that he used to enjoy. Well, he's standing before the king bearing the cup, and his countenance is sad. And you know what that means? It's when you look at somebody and you can just tell that there's something heavy on them. There's just something that is pulling them down. But when the king asked him, he says, why is it that you're so sad? He said, this is nothing more than sorrow of heart, that Nehemiah was very afraid. And why was he afraid? Because when the king asked him to respond, he would have to tell the king that his heart is sorrowful for his homeland. His heart is sorrowful for his people. But remember that Nehemiah is in captivity, and the gates of the city have been torn down, and the walls have been torn down. Now, Nehemiah was afraid, but he began to tell the king all that was in his heart. And as he began to speak to the king and tell him all that was in his heart, Nehemiah gained favor of the king. Now, I want you to understand something. God has a plan. Okay, we need to understand in America today, although America in general is drifting farther away from God, God has a plan for your life, and God has a plan for this church, okay? And what happened here in this story next is when Nehemiah told all that was in his heart, God granted favor so that Nehemiah was allowed to go back to the homeland for a span of years. And not only was he allowed to go back, but he was granted favor that he could ask for timber from the king's forest. He was granted favor that building materials were given to him so that he could go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now, when we look at this, we see God's hand. We said that God moved and he was granted favor. Now, when Nehemiah gets back in the second chapter, for a period of time, he just walks among the walls. Because it's almost like this. If you've never stayed up at night with a burden on your heart, you need a burden. Okay, you need to get something on your heart and your mind that causes you to think about somebody that you love that's not right with God. That causes you to pray for your church, to pray for our young people, to pray for those that don't know Christ as their personal Savior. Well, here he is at night. He's walking and he's looking at the walls and his heart's heavy. And he comes before the people and he encourages them to build. Now, I want you to understand something. Sometimes people get beat down. Sometimes people face so much adversity, so much trouble, that it takes somebody that has some zeal about them to get people motivated again. And here's Nehemiah before the people. He's encouraging them. But I want you to understand, it's not without opposition. Do you understand? And we're going to get to this in just a minute. Now, praise God for what He's doing here, but we're facing opposition. Chapter 3, we move on and we see where all of the people, the builders of the wall, and you can read through this, and it tells you where every group, every tribe, they've got a place. You know, everybody's got something that they need to do in order for it to work. You know, could you just imagine if when they get there and they're building the wall, everybody says, well, I want to work right here. I want to work in this spot, and I don't want to work over there in that spot. You know, when I was reading through this, some of them had to work at the dung hill. That's right. You know, they had a waste camp just like we've got out here. We got a dumpster that's running over, glory to God, because we had so much trash yesterday from having a Bible school kickoff. Could you imagine you're building on the wall and your spot is by the dung hill? Well, I wouldn't want to work there either. But you know, some of the jobs in the church, they may not be glamorous, but I want you to know that God sees them all. I want you to know that God has a place for everybody too. You know, sometimes I hear people say, it's almost like this, a song we used to sing. You know, I went to church and they didn't even shake my hand. Folks, this is not that church, number one. Okay, it's the most friendly church I've ever been in. Hardest working church I've ever been in. But you cannot wear your feelings on your shoulders and expect things to be right all the time, because it's just not going to be. When I read this scripture in chapter number 3, they all found their place and they worked together. You know that blessed, the Bible tells us how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. If we realize what we're doing it for the honor and glory of God. We're not doing it for ourselves. And these people had to work together. But it worked because the people had a mind to work. In chapter number 4, we see them begin to work, and in this chapter, it starts to get intense because Nehemiah faces opposition. Nehemiah answers the opposition by prayer. You know, sometimes what we need to do when we're facing opposition is we need to get in our prayer closet. We don't need to tell nobody. We don't need to get on the phone. You can spend your time talking to God. You know, one time I saw something happen at a church. They were praying about calling somebody to be the choir director. I saw people show up to vote I'd never seen before. I mean, a couple of them, and I know who they are, they got on the phone and they started their little party. They started about this, here's what we want. You know, we need to forget about what we want and look for what God wants, amen? You know, and I just sat and I was quiet, but I could have told them. I could have preached a little bit. Because when we get in God's way, things don't go right, amen? He got on his knees before God. And the first thing he did is he faces the opposition with prayer. And as they begin to build, it begins to be even more difficult. Do you know when you're headed in the right direction, it's going to get difficult? I had a man meet me one time, church I used to pastor out in the yard, and he said, why is it that I'm now trying to really get my heart and my home right with God? And he said, I'm facing one obstacle after the other. I'll tell you why. Because the devil does not like it when you start going down God's road, because it makes him mad. And it tears down his kingdom, which is this world. This is all he's got. Remember that. Remember that when you're facing opposition of the devil, that there's going to come a day when a trumpet's going to blow and his time's going to be up and we're going to be with God. Amen? So he's got to do all he can now. So what do they do? Nehemiah arms the workers. So they're building on the wall, but they got a sword hanging by their side. And some of them even got so bad that some of them had to stand guard for the other workers to be able to build upon the wall. Now, what is that symbolic of? I heard a story of a great preacher during the great time of Reformation that every time he would go and preach in the back room, there were people on their face praying. If he preached 45 minutes, they prayed 45 minutes. If he preached an hour, they prayed an hour. I'll tell you what it means to stand and hold the sword. It's to lift up God's people so that they can stand and do the things that God would have them to do. Some worked. Some watched, but they all had their sword on their side. Doesn't the Bible say pray without ceasing? It's like this.
If you prepare yourself for battle before the battle comes, you'll be able to stand. Why do so many people fall? It is because they do not prepare themselves. I had a person that got saved in Celebrate Recovery tell me this story, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to move on, because I'm giving you the introduction here. I've got to get to the message. But he told me, he said, you know, God saved me and God changed me. And he said, you know, I hadn't had the trouble with the anger that I used to have, real anger issues. And he said, a man walked up to me in the parking lot and he asked me this question. He said, have you really been tested since God has gotten into your life? He said, have you really had a time to where you were pushed to the absolute limit? And he just looked at him and he said, well, I guess not. And this is what this person said, and this person was lost. He said, virtue untested is not virtue at all. Think about that. Do you know why people fail? It's because they don't prepare themselves. You got a problem with a temper? You need to be praying about it now. You got a problem with certain type of temptation? You need to prepare now. We see them in this right here. They knew the enemy was out there, and they knew the enemy wanted to stop them. They prepared now. And that's what we need to do. You look into chapter 5, and here's what happens. The people are working, and things are starting to happen. People are starting to get homes back, but you know what happened? There were nobles in the land. In other words, not everybody lost everything that they had. And some were taking advantage of what they should be looking at as their brothers and sisters. And it became burdensome. There were complaints of debt, complaints of mortgage, and Nehemiah stands up like he should, like a preacher, and he rebukes them. And he said, why are you taking advantage of one another? He rebukes them, and the concept of interest is abolished. And they said, we're going to help people because we're able to help people. And they begin to work together, and he gives an example, even in his own self, because he becomes the governor of the land. But he's doing well enough that he does not take the bread of the governor. In fact, you read in the 5th chapter, and there are 150 people who sit at his table daily. Now you get to chapter number 6. And I want you to see that here they are, they built the wall, everything except the doors are hung. And we see where the adversaries plot against Nehemiah, but Nehemiah decides to stay on the wall. Well, what do? They come to him in verse 1 and verse 2, as Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies. Now think about who would the rest of our enemies be? You know, when we look outside the doors of this church, there are people who pass by every day that mock. Some of them come by and they see us out here as busy as we are. You know what some of them say? They're doing it again. They're in there again. I wonder, you know, some of them think this, I wonder what they're doing in there all the time. But you know, they're out there. The enemy's out there. Satan's out there. But where will the rest of our enemies be? When you start studying battle and you start studying about the enemy, here's sometimes something that's overlooked, is the concept of friendly fire. Do you realize that some of the enemies were actually inside the walls? There were some of them that always complained. There were some of them that always said it can't be done. There were some of them that always wanted to pick and ridicule rather than working together. Now let me tell you something. There shouldn't be any enemies inside the gates. Amen? Y'all understand what I'm talking about? We ought to do what we do for the honor and glory of God and leave the enemy outside. We've got enough to fight out there without doing it in here. Well, the enemy did not like that the wall was being built. They did not like that there was no breach in the wall. In other words, it had circled the city. The enemy asked for a meeting, but they actually sought to do harm because they did not want the work completed. But here's what Nehemiah said. He said, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come. He said, oh no, I'm not going to Ono. And I tell you what we ought to get in our hearts right now. It's, oh no, I'm not going to Ono. What does that mean? We need to understand that the enemy has come and he's come and he's come. And he comes to the point that he comes with deceit. And we need to recognize him and say, I'm staying right where I'm at. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep on standing where I'm standing because that burden that God has given me has not left. You know, God gave him a great burden that he'd go build that wall. And I want to tell you, when he built that wall, he faced some opposition. He faced some troubles. But I want to give you four quick things to understand about being on the wall. Number one, we have been assigned to the wall. Do you understand that? We've been assigned to the wall. Remember who you report to. We report to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As I heard one man say one time, he said, I report to the big boss. I want to tell you who the big boss is. It's God in heaven. There is a God, and we are not Him, and we report to Him. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then in chapter 7 and verse 23 of the same book, it says, you're bought with a price. Be not the servants of men, but follow God. Amen? We are assigned to the wall. And here's the one I want you to really get. Number two, you're going to be attacked on the wall. Now, I want you to understand something. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 10, that's where we first see of Sanballat and Tobiah. It says that the enemy was grieved. In other words, do you know that when the devil and the enemy looks at you and they see your heart and your life headed in the right direction, it grieves him. It makes him angry. It's like he's losing another one. Okay, he couldn't hold on to our Lord. It's almost like when Jesus Christ died on the cross, death could not hold him and corruption couldn't touch him. Slipped right through the hands, amen? What he wants to do, because he couldn't hold him, he cannot take place of God in heaven, he cannot have God's glory, he wants you. The enemy is grieved. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 19, you see that the enemy laughs and despises. If you come down to Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 3, the enemy mocks. And some of you may have even heard somebody say something like this. It says, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he will even break down their stone wall. You know what the enemy has said about you? They've said, it won't stick. They've said it won't last. One time I was on a job site and I had my Bible laying up on the dash of the truck, and a guy walked by and he just looked at my Bible. And then he looked at me and he said, so you're a Christian, huh? And I said, yes. And this is what he said. He said, time will tell. Do you know what people are saying about you because they see God working in your life and they see a change in your life? Some of them are saying, it won't last. Some of them are saying it's no good. Some of them are saying it's nothing to it. But I want you to understand something. When the enemy mocks, God is the one that's got us to where we're at, and God is the one that will take us on farther. Let's don't forget why we're here and who our big boss is. Amen? See, and the next thing is the enemy is angry. Not only angry, but very angry. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 7 and verse number 8 says, but when it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Now I want you to understand something. You know, it's almost like this. You ever heard the saying, it's darkest right before dawn? You start going through a battle and you start struggling and you really start, well, I'm going to seek God. I'm just going to knuckle down and I'm going to do what I know is right. And all of a sudden it seems like it just jumps on you twice as bad. Did you hear the names that I just read? It wasn't just Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians, but they went and got somebody else. Now, that you know that sometimes when the enemy is against you, if he can't beat you with one demon, he's going to go look for another one. And he's going to go look for another one. And he's going to get a whole gang, and they're going to try to jump on your back and keep you from being and doing what God wants you to do. Said that the enemy was very wroth. And they came when they saw that the work was being done. And they wanted to do everything they could to stop the work. Then the next one, the enemy is very tricky. You see, what we read in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 2 says, Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come and let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. It says, but they thought to do me mischief. Now think about that for just a minute. Sometimes the enemy will call and they'll say, let's just get together and talk for old time's sake. Now let me tell you something this morning. If you're here and you're saved by the grace of God, and I'll tell you young people, thank y'all for sitting up front. I appreciate our young people, amen? Amen. But I want to tell you something. They some folks you just need to stay away from, okay? They some enemy out there that they call and they say, let's just get together. One time I was in a youth group and I had a young lady in our youth group there. I can still remember her. She did not try at all to separate herself from the world. In fact, she even made comments about like, well, you know, I can serve the Lord today, but there's nothing wrong with me going over there. Let me tell you, there's some places you don't need to go. There's some people you don't need to be around. And when the devil calls and he said, let's get together. Oh, no, I'm not going to Oh, no. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to meddle a little bit. There's some parties when you get invited to, you just don't need to go. There's some, and it could be a spending night party. You just don't need to go. There's some people you just don't need to hang around. And there's some people you need to block from your Facebook. He said, oh no, I'm not going to Oh, no. See, the enemy's tricky. If he can't get you one way, he's going to get you another way. And if he's tried everything he can and he cannot knock you down, he's mad. And he's going to come. Now, I want to tell you something. I see the devil coming against this church. Folks, we've been in battle, haven't we? We've had a lot that's come against us. But I want to tell you, the same God that sent that burden, he said, I want you to go down there and I want you to build that wall. The same God that gave him favor and gave him what he needed to build is going to deliver him from the enemy. But we got to believe and we got to stand. Because when you believe and when you stand, God gets glory. And everything we do, we don't do it for us. We do it for His glory. Amen? What did Jesus say to Peter? Remember when Jesus called Peter to Him? Simon Peter, and says, the Lord said, this is in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Says, and the Lord said unto Simon, He said, Simon, Simon. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But what did he say further? He said, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, sometimes we think we know ourselves. What did Simon Peter say? He said, Lord, I'm ready to go all the way with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go to the cross with you. And then here's the Lord. He looks at him and he says, before that rooster crows, one time, you're going to deny me three times. And he goes out and he learns who he is in himself, because in ourself we don't have strength. In ourself we cannot stand. That's why we need to understand and recognize who the big boss is and know that he has a plan for our life. And sometimes as we're fighting and going through the storm and the walls being built and the enemy is raging, it's because it's such a great and important thing. Do you know you have been assigned to the wall? You're going to be attacked on the wall? You're accountable for the wall. See, one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account. People don't want to hear that. They don't want to talk about that. But I want to tell you something. Whether America believes it or not, Jesus Christ is coming back. Whether they believe it or not, they're going to stand before Him one day and they're going to give an account. And the Bible tells me that every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He has no equal. There is no other way. He's the only one. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only one. We're responsible for the place we've been given on the wall. You know, whatever God's given you to do, it's important. Don't think, well, I do, you know, all I do is I teach a Sunday school class, or all I do is I work over here. All I do is I work over there. I mean, I just work in the kitchen, or, you know, I just clean the church, or I just work in the parking lot. Let me tell you, everybody is important in the house of God. And when we get to heaven, sometimes people think, you know, that you ever seen them walk around, it's like, I'm too good. I'm too good to do it. If you're too good to sweep, you're too good to get up in the pulpit, amen? Whatever it is, if you're doing it for the honor and glory of God, it's important. Brother Keith got up here and he told about being saved in Bible school. There will be people and kids here next week. This may be their opportunity. This may be the time in their life that God speaks to them. Maintain your place on the wall. Wherever God's put you, it's important. Maintain your place on the wall. Number four, you will be assisted on the wall. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. Nehemiah heard and he asked and his heart was broke. God opened the door and the opportunity came for him to go back. Even gave him all the materials he needed. The people come together. Was there trouble? Was there opposition? Well, yes. But the same God that sent the burden, that sent the favor, is able to help you. Sometimes what we need to do is we just need to hold on. See, God will give you strength. God will give you courage. God will give you ability to stand. But sometimes there's some things that we need to do to stay on the wall. We just need to stay on the wall. We just need to hold on. We need to trust God and believe what God has for us. You see, stay on the wall means this. It means don't quit when it's difficult. Has it ever gotten difficult for you? You know, I'm sure if we begin to talk and, you know, sometimes we sit and sometimes I hear burdens and my heart goes out. And you ought to be praying for your brothers and sisters. Amen. You ought to be praying for those that are sick. You ought to be praying for those that are in hospital. You ought to be praying for those that you're here and are having trouble. But here's what it means to stay on the wall. Don't quit. Don't quit when it gets difficult. You say you don't quit when it's hard. You don't quit when things are not going exactly the way that you want them to. And you don't quit sometimes even when you build and you look back and things crumble a little bit. You ever felt like you're building on the wall and you look around and somebody just knocked it down? Go over and pick it up. I was watching a movie this week and it was about an earthquake. And it was, you know, typical special effects, you know, they can do it really, do it good now. But I tell you what stuck out the most to me at the end of the movie. Man and a woman, they looked at each other and they were looking at all the destruction. And they said, well, what do we do now? And one of them looked at the other and they said, we rebuild. You see, sometimes when the walls fall down, you don't quit. You rebuild. See, you don't quit when it's difficult. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. You go down to the fourth verse and it says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You see, the truth is, I've been walking in this way long enough that I expect the enemy. I expect Sanballat and Tobiah to come and make trouble. I do, because I know, and I've been on the wall long enough that I know that the enemy is going to come and he's going to do what he can do. But what I've learned when it gets difficult, just like Nehemiah, is I just get down. I just get low and I try to get calm and I don't get in myself. And I say, God, if the enemy is going to be defeated, you're the one that's going to have to do it. See, you don't quit when it's difficult. Number two, you don't quit when you fail. Can I help you out just a minute? You're going to fail. You're going to have some times that you look at yourself and you're going to, even the devil's going to tell you, well, what in the world are you doing going down to church? What about what you said? What about what you did? That's when you just keep coming. I want to tell you something. God loves you. And God cares about you. And He welcomes you. And He wants to work with you. And He wants you in His army. And He's got a place for you. But you can't quit. You got to stay on the wall. You don't quit when you face the enemy. Opposition. Persecution. Pressure. Disappointment. Unappreciated. Unsupported. What about this? What about being on the wall and you're building on the wall and you're looking out that way for the enemy and these people over here behind you laying down, been laying there all day and your back's hurting and you're sweating and they don't even appreciate what you're doing? Don't quit. They may not have the understanding you've got. They may not even understand what you're doing for them, but you keep working because one day when you can't build on the wall, maybe they'll become far enough then that they can take your place. So why stay on the wall? And we're going to give an invitation in just a minute. This is the most important thing. This is the most important one. God gets glory when the wall's built. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do. It's not about you, what you can do. It's about God getting the glory when the wall's built. Amen? But I want you to understand something. Why stay on the wall? And this is very important. The wall protects my family. Do you know, for me as the head of my house, it's very important that I stay on the wall. I'm not going to ask my wife to take my place on the wall. I'm not going to ask my oldest son to take my place on the wall. I'm the spiritual leader of my home, and no matter what I face, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what the devil throws at me, no matter what the enemy wants to do, my place is on the wall, and I'm supposed to stay on the wall. The wall protects my family. Sometimes your family might not even understand what you're doing for them. Stay on the wall. Stay on the wall so that the enemy doesn't come in and harm them. Do you understand that there was an enemy outside that wall that if they could get inside that city would have destroyed the women and the children just like the dogs? Do you know that's what the devil wants to do? That's what the devil wants to do to you. Don't you want to protect your children from what's outside the wall? Stay on the wall. The enemy wants you off the wall because he wants to stop God's work. He does not want the lost saved, and he does not want homes to stay together. The enemy is defeated when the wall is built. You see, when we come together, there's a song we used to sing, and I asked Brother Keith to come on and get ready with your song. And the youth group that I was in, I can still remember it. And I want y'all to know what it seems like yesterday. I know I look old, okay? But it seems like yesterday. But here's the song. And when we sang this song, we would always stand up and we would make a circle around the front of the church. And it's like this: give me your hand. Let's agree together that all of our enemies will crumble at our feet. For whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And in the name of Jesus, he'll be defeated. And we'd sing that song, and the name of it was Give Me Your Hand. And we would stand up, and it talked about fighting against the enemy. And when we joined hands, it was like building a wall. You know that the church, no matter, needs to be able to join hands. You need to be able to stand together, and you need to be able to stand against the enemy. And when the enemy, you know, when you read this story, here's what they said. They had some that would stand with a trumpet in their hand. And they said, you know, the wall circled the entire city. And to build the wall, they were working on the entire wall at one time. And sometimes the enemy would actually look for the weakest spot on the wall and would come against that spot on the wall. And they said, when you hear the trumpet, you drop your work and you run to that spot. And we'll help those that are weak over there. And then if the enemy comes over here, we'll drop what we're doing and we'll run over there. You know, we need to join hands. And when we hear the enemy is over here or he's over there, we get together and we go for the honor and glory of God and lift one another up. You know what you don't do? You don't say, ah, look at them. They're not strong as us over on this side. We're missing the point. Stay on the wall. Everybody rise to your feet if you would, please. God spoke to you in any fashion. These altars are open. God loves you. God wants to help you. Most importantly, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something. There's nothing more important than you'll ever do. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't understand. I don't know exactly what to do. Let me make this suggestion to you. If you're here this morning and you don't know that you're saved and you want to be saved, why don't you take somebody by the hand? Just ask them to come pray with you. I guarantee you, there's enough people that want to work on this wall. but they'll come pray with you this morning. God spoke to your heart. This is your opportunity to pray. Amen.
Lost in darkness, for the saint who's gone astray, for the sinner blind but searching, for the child in need of faith, for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old, there is a remedy for every sin-sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For the bitter, for the lonely, for the weary and afraid, for the burdened and frustrated, for the discouraged and dismayed, for the mocked and persecuted, for the battered, for the wrong, for the scarred and for the wounded, for the weak and for the strong, there is a remedy. For every sin-sick soul, there is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For every tribe and every nation, every color, every race, for every tongue and every language, for every time and every place, there's an answer to the question. There is love for all the hate. There's a healer for the dying. He's the light, the truth, the way. There is a remedy for every sin-sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you'll find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You
good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Yes. We got several that come on to join the church this morning. I'm going to ask them as I call her name if they'd come up with me. This is W.A. Richardson and Ruth Ann Richardson. Yes. Amen. Been visiting with us a while, and we're glad to have them come this morning. Trista Lindsay, and Lyric Mitchell's in the nursery, but Trista wants to come and join this morning. Amen. Then we have Sylvia Ford come up. Your name, I'll let you finish it. Okay. Then we have Trish Stacy. Come on up. So you see these that have come this morning, could I get a move and accept? Second. Amen. Be accepted. Move to be accepted in a second. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us this morning and moving in our service. Thank you to all the hard workers and all that's going on. Now, Bible school is going to start tonight at 6:30. Okay, we're not having Sunday night service. We are going to have a lesson tonight, and we are every night. Lord willing, I'll be speaking tonight for a few minutes. And Brother Allen's going to be bringing the lessons the rest of the week. So we're excited about Brother Allen. Brother Allen is a teacher for our youth, and they really think a lot of him, and it shows. And so we're looking forward to that. I appreciate everybody that's worked so hard. Y'all come back. Now listen, we're going to have a good time in Bible school. You know it's important to have fellowship at God's house? I taught a big Sunday school class for years, and we were the last to get started because fellowship. Because sometimes they'd be getting together, talking, fellowshipping, and I didn't want to stop them. Because sometimes it wasn't important what I had to say as much as it was sometimes they helped each other. You know, sometimes you can get together and have fellowship, and it'll help you. You need to understand you have friends at the house of God, amen? So we're going to walk out here to shake hands, and Brother Tommy, as we walk out, would you lead us in prayer, please?
to be with you.